Number one new hit show.
Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, geeks of all ages, welcome to the final episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast for 2015. I am Justin Cavender, and with me as always is Amanda, David, and Randy. How are you three doing tonight?
Good.
Super good.
Excellent.
There was a pause. I was going to fill in the empty space.
Dave has Parkinson's from getting punched by the Russians.
I'm just keeping you on your toes, Rando. How you doing, Justin?
Fabulous. No complaints.
You ready to put a pin in this year, 2015, the year that was?
The year of the divorce.
The year of nonstop to Comic-Con.
Oh, that too.
Yeah. Best movie of the year.
The year of... Oh, is it? It might be.
It's Archer's going to win all the awards.
False. Black bear.
Yeah.
But was there any bear rape in Nonstop Comic-Con?
There wasn't any in Reverend either.
Yeah, but it was a great marketing tactic, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, how would you like to be a studio exec and your day's filled with debunking bear rape references? No, Leo doesn't get raped by a bear.
As if a bear would want to rape Leonardo DiCaprio.
What? Leonardo DiCaprio's perfect. Everyone wants to rape Leonardo DiCaprio.
Not when he's looking all dirty.
Yeah, he looked a little dirty.
Oh, I don't care.
Furry enough for the bear to be into it.
I'll take him any way I can get him.
Did you see that movie?
Reverend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
No, not particularly. I mean, it's all right. I'm not. Yeah, it's super long.
And he gets his revenge and then he dies at the end. Do they kill each other?
Well, I don't want to spoil
it. They kill each other. Leo dies in every movie he's in.
He does. I will let you know. Yeah, Leo dies in a lot of movies.
He's not happy with the script unless his character is gonna die.
He's like the handsome Sean Bean.
Yeah, he's gunning for that role.
I was gonna say, yeah, you can look at it like Oscar bait, where a lot of times winners do die, but it hasn't worked out for him. So maybe he should pick up more roles with people.
I think he'll win this year because it's a weak field, and I think that it's gonna be like his departed for Scorsese. Like, they're like, look, we screwed up and didn't give it to you a couple times, so here, take this one. So I think he'll get it. Inarritu will get nominated for Best Director, and what's his name, the cinematographer, he'll probably win his third Oscar in a row. Because the big hook on the film was they only shot using natural daylight.
Oh, really?
They didn't, well,
I did a movie like that when I was in college.
Yeah, but it probably didn't look as good as this one.
And it didn't have Leo in it.
That's true. If it had Leo in it, it probably would have been better.
But any asshole that can't afford lights can do the same thing.
They spent it all on Leo.
He used all wide-angle lenses.
That's the way to do it! That's
natural
the best
light,
way!
Wide-angle.
I do everything in wide-angle. It's so easy. You don't gotta change shit. You just go. And it all fits.
Yeah.
It fits. The damn thing fits. This is nice. We haven't referenced Police Academy in ages, so I'm glad we can squeeze that in.
Not the old zoo.
But the new zoo. Oh, funny. What do we got? What's exciting?
2015!
The year of the Star Wars. Dave, it's already hit $1 billion. Tim Byers might be onto something. This man, Tim Byers of thefullbleed.net, said that Star Wars The Force Awakens would be the first movie to hit $3 billion. And in 12 days, it crossed the $1 billion mark, and it hasn't even reached China yet.
I still don't see it hitting three. It's still an outside chance for two. I don't see it outgrossing Avatar worldwide. I think it'll outgross Avatar domestically, but I don't think that worldwide it's going to get there.
What if, because there are approximately 1.3 billion Chinese people in China, what if they decided to make the movie only cost a dollar and boom, and everyone goes to see it? Or, they charge $2 and then they hit their $3 billion. Boom.
In that unique situation, then yes, it would probably happen. But, you know, Avatar is at almost $2.8 billion worldwide. And, you know, most box office estimates give you the 3 to 3.5 times modifier, which would put episode 7, roughly around, the $2 billion mark. And domestically, it'll put it about 833. So I think that 833 is accurate. So it'll pass Avatar domestically, but worldwide, I really don't see it hitting the $2.8 billion it needs. But I've been wrong before, right, Randy? Once?
Once.
What say you, Randy? Is it going to hit $3 billion?
I say once this thing hits China, you're going to see some serious shit.
Well, hits China. It doesn't hit China until January 6th. So yeah. We've got a couple weeks.
And then we can all get bootlegs because we all know they come from China.
That's Armenian Christmas, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Oh, hey, see, it's an Armenian Christmas present.
In China.
A Christmas miracle.
It's taken the long way around via China.
Yeah. So, I mean, China's going to be good for about $350 to $400 million.
That's it? With my $2 scheme?
Well, I don't know if Disney's caught on to your brilliant scheme, much less if the movie theaters could accommodate the billions of people that live in China in that scenario.
Well, they got to get in line, Dave.
They're used to it, right?
Yeah.
It's communism.
They need the gas mask, though. Pollution.
Well, what they need to do is just they need to get with the Disney needs to get with the Chinese government. Say they'll build them another theme park if they make it mandatory, like their citizens have to go see the movie. That's the power of communism, right there. The studios force the people to watch it.
Compulsory.
I think they have committee.
Yeah, I mean, it made $150 million this weekend, the highest grossing second weekend of all time. It shattered the record that was set by Jurassic World earlier this year. Did 108, so
it's almost shattered it by a day.
Yeah, shattered it by $41 million. I mean, if you go and see the comparisons between Avatar and Force Awakens, after 10 days, The Force Awakens domestically is at $540 million. At this point in Avatar's gross, it was at $212 million. You know, Avatar's highest weekend was $74 million, but it just never stopped making money. You know, its drop-offs were just so minuscule that, it was making $30, $40 million, 12 weeks out. Same thing with Titanic. Titanic was number one at the box office for 15 straight weeks. You know, so it's that kind of action that Star Wars needs to do if it wants to be the box office king. But it already has 36 box office records and counting. So,
Lost in Space is what dethroned Titanic.
It is that marvel of cinema with Matt LeBlanc.
What?
Yeah, but it was like in April, so I mean, the movie came out in December, so it was time.
Yeah, it was like April Fools or something like that.
That's a shame.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. It ruled from December 12th to April.
That's a pretty big deal. I think Star Wars could do the same thing. They should just keep it in theaters until it comes out on video. That's what I would do.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really have a significant, competitor. It's just going to be attrition. Like, every weekend Star Wars is going to make less and less and less. And it really doesn't have a big contender for, basically all of January. So we may see it go all the way through January, still the number one film.
Speaking of scene, I mean, you guys have all seen it more than once. Dave and Randy, you guys have seen it 6 times. Amanda's seen it twice. These big numbers are just all these people going and rewatching it over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's like a cultural event. Like, you have to go, you need to go see Star Wars. That's the thing to do. I saw it a 6th time because my goddaughter had not seen it, and I felt that was child abuse on her parents' part. So I took it upon, and because she wanted to see it, so I took it upon me to go take her to see it, and we ended up making it a fun little drive-in event, which was fun until I froze my nutsack off. Yeah.
I think it's amazing you guys went to the drive-in to see Star Wars. I would love to do that.
It was so cold.
Oh my god, I totally want to do that.
Oh my god, it was freezing. I had a hoodie, I had a blanket, I had long pants on. You guys know I don't like wearing long pants. I had a beanie and a scarf, hot chocolate.
A little scarf. Did you have a Gryffindor scarf?
No, my buddy Chung got me a matching.
He's more of a Hufflepuff guy.
Yeah, I'm definitely more Hufflepuff.
I can see that.
I don't know how to take that. You were cowardly and fat. Hufflepuff!
No, the Hufflepuffs aren't cowardly.
What are they? What are you if you're a Hufflepuff?
I think they are loyal or something.
Maybe.
Loyal and emotional.
Something stupid like that.
They're smart. I think Ravenclaw.
The Ravenclaws are smart ones.
and Gryffindor.
They value hard work, dedication, and patience and loyalty. So you're,
there you go.
That's me right there.
To a T.
And fair play.
And they're weirdos.
And they're just batshit crazy.
I would want to be.
Is Luna the only Hufflepuff we ever know?
I thought she was.
So.
Is she Hufflepuff?
No, wait.
She's Ravenclaw.
Yeah,
she's Ravenclaw.
Wait, who's Hufflepuff?
Cho's Ravenclaw.
Probably that fat lady that plays with the shrieking root people.
Wait, what about Cedric? Wait, was Cedric Diggory in Hufflepuff?
No, he was a Gryffindor.
No, he was. I thought he was Ravenclaw. Maybe he was Hufflepuff.
No, I thought he was a Hufflepuff because he made it into the Triwizard Tournament. Like, it made the Hufflepuffs really happy because they never get any glory. And then, so then the Hufflepuffs, really hated Harry for getting in.
Yeah, so Cedric, was a Hufflepuff.
Yeah,
he was a Hufflepuff.
I just looked it up.
So was Tonks. Tonks was a Hufflepuff. And then a bunch of nobodies. Hannah Longbottom. Susan Bones.
She died.
She did. She touched the necklace.
Did she die or did she just have seizures and shit?
I don't remember.
The name Bones would be pretty sweet if she died.
And yes, Justin, you'll be happy to know that the Pomona Sprout was...
Yeah! I knew it!
So is Newt Scamander, who's the lead in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Him.
Bring it around to what's relevant.
I saw a trailer for that movie. Did you guys get a trailer for the Star Wars?
Sort of.
Wait, for...
I got what they were calling a trailer. Like the little
Fantastic
teaser.
Beasts and Where to Find Him or whatever?
Yeah.
Shit.
One of my friends on Facebook, when she saw that trailer, was like, now I understand what all the Star Wars people feel like right now. It's like, oh, okay. I don't think it's going to be that great of a movie.
No, it's probably going to be terrible.
Well, hopefully it just tries to be something different. Like, it's not going to... It's going to have a different tone, so hopefully it doesn't try to be...
Isn't it going to have an American tone? Like a Western tone?
Well, it goes to America, but I mean, the main antagonist... Or main
America.
Antagonist is still...
Oh, British guy?
Yeah. Colin Farrell's in it, so it can't be all bad.
Just
look at the second season of True Detective.
I didn't watch the second season of True Detective.
Yeah, you're better for it.
Yeah, don't waste your time.
Yeah.
I really like the first season. And now one girl gets naked. The chick that's in...
It's on my list of biggest disappointments of 2015.
What is the Peter Jackson and the monster movies...
Braindead?
Percy Jackson? Is that who he is?
Yes, there is a
Percy
film
Jackson?
Called Percy Jackson, yes.
Okay, yeah, the girl in the Percy Jackson movies.
Her!
She gets naked.
That was only...
True Detective.
That was in the first season.
I know, I like that. Alexandra Daddario. I like her.
I don't think there's any boobs in the second season.
That was my takeaway from True Detective was...
And that's why nobody likes
Alexandra Daddario.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I don't think there's any boobs in the second season.
I gotta have the boobs. I'm a fan of the side boob now, where you can't really see anything, but you do.
Yes. It's all about the underboob.
Underboob. Yeah.
No, top boob's out. It's all about the underboob.
Yeah, that's hot.
I'm tired of hearing about boobs. Let's move on.
You brought
what
it
about
up.
Movies? Yeah, you're talking about boobies.
Yeah.
No, you brought it up.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about what's her face.
I was talking
naked.
About Peter Jackson and his fat boobs, his man boobs. Oh, yeah. So, 2015, we got to see some pretty amazing movies. I thought it was a pretty good year for movies. And I wanted to hear your guys' favorites for 2015. Who wants to go first? Ladies
first,
Amanda.
My list is super short because
I didn't see that many movies
this year.
That's fucking fun.
Well, I really enjoyed Mad Max. That was one of the highlights for me. And then, of course, the Star Wars.
Yeah.
And then, what was my last one? Shoot, where's my list? Where's my
Kingsman.
List at?
Kingsman.
Oh, I forgot about Kingsman. Yeah, the Kingsman was great. Oh, and The Martian. I really liked The Martian. A lot of people didn't. I mean, I felt like it was a really hit or miss for a lot of people, but I thought it was great.
Oh, man, I thought it was 10 times better than Interstellar.
Oh, well, that's set a low bar.
Just throwing it out there. For all you space nerds out there, I think that The Martian is 10 times the movie of Interstellar.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
Like on a Jupiter ascending level.
But I...
Did you end up seeing Jupiter ascending?
No. I'm sorry, Amanda. This is your time. Keep going. Oh.
Well, now that you bring up Kingsman, that might have been my favorite movie this year.
It's pretty fucking good, dude.
It's a great movie. They're doing another one, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. With Colin Firth.
Yeah.
He's a badass. Who knew that he could be a badass, right? He sold me.
I know.
Who that's... does kind of super die at the end of this Colin film. But it's coming back.
Yeah. But I mean...
I'm all for it.
That whole church scene was incredible.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I didn't even know what was happening. It was too much.
Did we talk about how, like, in some countries they completely cut out that scene?
No, I didn't know that.
I don't remember where it was, but somewhere they just cut out that scene completely. Like, he walks in, and then he walks out.
Like a revolving door. They just have him go in one door.
Yeah,
out the other.
So they just cut out everything in between from those two points in the movie.
That would be like showing the Phantom Menace and then not showing the lightsaber battle at the end.
Right.
Like cutting out the best part of the
lightsaber
movie.
It was like, it was considered... Yeah, it was considered too violent, so they just cut it out.
That whole
I don't remember
movie,
where it was.
That whole movie was ultra violent. That was like RoboCop violence. It was. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen anything like that in a long time.
It was nutso.
Yeah.
It was great.
Matthew Vaughn.
Are we only doing our good list right now?
For at first, I think.
Okay.
Do you want to hit me with your least favorites?
Because I don't go see a lot of movies, I pretty much just try and see things that I know I'm probably going to like. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to think of something that was disappointing, but I mean, the only thing I could really come up with was Jurassic World, but I didn't really think it was disappointing. I guess, well, I didn't like the half of the movie that had people in it.
Right.
I just wanted the movie to just be dinosaurs the whole time.
See, I didn't like the dinosaurs killing each other. I wanted to see dinosaurs eat people. I got tired of seeing that big old thing just destroy all my favorite dinosaurs.
Yeah, that made me sad.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I couldn't think... I mean, I know what people have said are bad movies, but I didn't see any of those. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely... There's bad and there's disappointing.
So. Right.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, the biggest disappointment then would probably be Jurassic.
I feel like maybe if I had seen Age of Ultron, that would have been my biggest disappointment.
Oh, that's a good one. I was kind of disappointed with that. I mean, I walked away enjoying Ant-Man more than Ultron, which sounds weird to say out loud.
And, I mean, the fact that I never even felt compelled to go see it kind of says it all, I guess. Mm-hmm. as much as I love the first Avengers movie, I was just like, I don't need to see Age of Ultron.
Well, Age of Ultron and Jurassic World are both kind of like forgettable blockbusters. Like, you know, like people are still talking about Star Wars. But well, like,
it came out 8 seconds ago.
Yeah, it came out 10 days ago. But like the day after
Age of Ultron
came out, nobody cared. They're like, oh, Civil War's coming in June.
Yeah.
It's a day after Jurassic World. They're like, oh, that's cute. Age of Ultron comes out soon.
Mm-hmm. Ultron came out, I didn't hear jack shit about it.
Except for you guys. It's fun. I never, you know, move on.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we got out of Star Wars, we're like, who the fuck's this Snoke guy? What happened to Kylo Ren? How come Rey can do this? Who's Rey's parent? Like, we're asking questions.
Yeah.
Why didn't Poe Dameron actually do anything?
Because he was supposed to die.
I think
that's
my biggest...
That's why his character's so two-dimensional.
I heard that.
Yeah, it's nuts. He was supposed to die in, like, the beginning.
I'm glad they didn't kill him.
Me too.
I liked Oscar Isaac.
Thank you. Sorry, Jesse, you were saying?
I don't remember. Oh, my biggest takeaway from Avengers Age of Ultron was that Hawkeye stole the show, which surprised the hell out of me.
Yeah.
He was my favorite part of that whole movie. As someone that would just drink a cup of James Spader's semen, I was surprised that Hawkeye stole the show.
I love it how you say it like you haven't already done that.
Well... I don't want to drag his name in the mud.
Man, he used to be so attractive.
Now he's yeah. Now he's more like radio friendly.
Not aging well.
Oh man, he's so good. I'm almost done with the second season of Blacklist.
Oh, that's a good show, man.
Yeah, he's so rad.
I love how he just fucking just shoots people, and he's not just all talk. Like, he's an actual badass on that show.
Yeah.
That one scene where he's trying to figure out who sold him out, and it's like, it shows him grab a person and take him into the car, and then the next shot is you think that he's about to grab somebody, and then the next shot is just them in the car. It's like all these different people because he's just so quick at doing it. I love that. I thought that was great.
Yeah, and the one guy who sold out the other two is actually the bad guy, and he ends up just shooting him in the head.
His face, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he don't fuck around. Or when he shot the lady, the I don't remember what she was, some kind of secretary
like this,
or something.
Like the, yeah, like she was like a senator or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He goes into her house and just fucking shoots her. Yeah.
And he calls a big deal. What's her name? Calls his cleaner and she comes and fixes it.
Oh yeah, and I like their relationship too. She's sweet on him.
Yeah. Denbei, his little bodyguard.
Oh yeah, I like him too. Good show.
Heck yeah.
Oh god, his story is so sad. We find out his backstory.
Oh, I haven't seen season 3 at all.
Is it season 2?
His backstory is in season 2?
Yeah, it's like pretty brief.
Oh.
It's not like a whole episode, but you find out why Denbei is so loyal to him.
Oh.
Right. And they like confront the guy.
Because he was going to be recruited by like,
Oh.
And then like Denbei's like, don't kill him, it's not going to do anything. He's like, you see, that's a good man. He's pleading for your life, and that's a good man. Better than you, definitely better than me. He's like, psh, psh, psh. Shoots him like 3 times. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good show.
It is.
I don't like how her
husband...
I haven't
watched season 3 at all either.
Her husband has, like, the Harry Potter glasses, and it drove me nuts. Tom?
Well,
Tom Keen.
Yeah. He loses them eventually, but...
Undercover brother.
Well, he got rid of them.
Yeah. But that is a good show.
He got rid of them.
I know, finally. But it took a season and change.
Took him getting shot a couple times.
Yeah.
Moving on.
So what was your what do you think is the most underrated film? Did you have one? Or underrated show or anything?
I don't think so. I mean, I pretty much don't like spend my time on anything unless I have heard that it's worth my time. Because I'm just like, my time is very limited. I only want to spend it on things that are going to be worth it.
That makes sense. All right. And then what are you looking forward to most in 2016?
Civil War. And then also... oh, wait. Should I talk about TV, too?
I mean, if you want.
Are we doing it all at once?
It's up to you. How do you guys want to do it?
This is your show. You're running this thing. We do movies and then go to TV.
Yeah, let's do movies and TV, then. So you're done.
Okay. So, yeah, movies, Civil War. And I'm sure there's other things, but I can't remember because a year is a long time. A lot of stuff happens.
What about the new Star Trek movie? Are you excited about that?
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen the trailer. Actually, I think I'm going to avoid seeing anything.
The new trailer didn't seem very Star Trek-y to me. Like, I wasn't...
Yeah.
It was very Justin Lin came on and put his stamp on the franchise.
Yeah. They're like, how do we get these people in cars?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that it's kind of a dumb trailer, so I haven't watched it.
It didn't.
Let's blow up the Enterprise, just like they did in the third one of the original saga.
Dave, I'm telling you, it's all about destiny. This shit's already gonna happen. That's the way the universe works.
What I'm else is Idris Elba supposed to be in? He's supposed to be in something Dark else Tower. Besides Star Trek, right? Oh yeah, but that's not gonna happen for years.
Is in talks to replace Daniel Craig for James Bond, but that's just everyone.
Oh, that would be cool. They're not going to do that, though.
Anywho, who's next?
Who's next?
Andy.
I'll go next. All right. My list is actually really similar to Amanda's in terms of movies. My top for 2015 were Star Wars, Mad Max, Kingsman, and The Martian. Worst was Fantastic Four. I think I'm the only one of us that actually saw it in the theater. Oh, it is. I forgot. I'm sorry, David. But I bet you mentally blocked it out, right?
I remember all of it because it pissed me off.
Yeah. So, and what I'm looking forward to most from 2016, of course, Star Wars Rogue One. Just because my deep love for Star Wars and anything that takes place in or around the original trilogy era gets me going.
Get you wet and you're not even swimming.
Yeah. Like a whole swimming pool with a wet.
Do you have an underrated? Did you say you had an underrated?
Not for movies. For TV, yes. But not for movies.
There you go.
If I had to just make a snap judgment and call something underrated, I would say Holmes.
Ian
McKellen movie about the aging Sherlock Holmes. It is very, very good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And it's on a lot of people's top lists for the movie. Not quite top 10 necessarily, but it's one of those things that wasn't released incredibly wide. But if you have the opportunity to see it, I recommend it because it is a fun story. And I mean, anything Ian McKellen is worth watching. He's arguably the best part of the Hobbit movies. So
an apt pupil.
Oh shit, that's taking it way back.
It's pretty good now.
I highly enjoyed that movie too, but maybe for an entirely different reason.
Oh yeah, you're a Nazi sympathizer.
No, I just like stories that involve Nazis because they're the perfect villain.
They are horrible villains. But you can watch a million Nazis die and you would probably cheer.
Yeah.
It's funny how that works.
That's why they're great villains, because they're totally expendable. They're like stormtroopers.
And they use the front door.
So, yeah. Whose turn next?
Dave.
Who next?
You want me to go?
Go for it.
Yeah, I think my top five films of the year are going to be Star Wars, Mad Max, Creed, Straight Outta Compton, and The Martian.
Ooh.
Those are my top five. Kingsman finishes just out of the top five, but I just love those movies so much. My biggest disappointment was Tomorrowland. It was, I was so looking forward to it. It's like, it was going to be my movie other than Star Wars. 2015 was going to be the year that I fell in love with Tomorrowland. It was looked like it was being marketed so well because they weren't showing us anything.
And because they didn't have anything.
Exactly. And then we realized they didn't show us anything because there was nothing to show. And it was just shit from start to finish. And it was just abysmally disappointed.
I can't believe, like, George Clooney and Hugh Laurie did that.
Yeah. Both just phoned it in. It was so disappointing. If I had to do an underrated film, it's not going to be underrated for much longer. It's a movie called Spotlight. It's going to win every Academy Award this year. It deals with the true story of the Boston Globe when it uncovers the child sex scandal, you know, within the Catholic Church. Has an amazing cast.
Is there a movie like that, though, with Philip Seymour Hoffman?
I don't think so.
When
I think that was a fictional movie though.
Oh.
Spotlight
fictional
is...
characters.
Yeah, fiction can be fun.
But the Spotlight stars Mark Ruffalo, it's got Michael Keaton and Rachel McAdams, it's got Liv Schreiber. It's just stacked from like top to bottom. It's got Stanley Tucci, who I love and adore. And it's going to go far this Oscar season, and so I know a lot of people don't see the small Oscar films, but you definitely should check it out because it is really, really good. And my most anticipated things of 2016 are obviously Rogue One because I love Star Wars. As much as I shit on Zack Snyder, I'm very interested to see Ben Affleck as Batman and Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. Morbidly curious about Independence Day Resurgence. And I don't know if you guys saw the Red Band trailer for Deadpool that came out on Christmas, but it is fucking amazing. And I don't think that movie is going to make any money, but it looks like a movie that I'm going to enjoy sitting in a popcorn, eating popcorn. I think it's going to fill that Kingsman itch of just R-rated, just killing and swearing and having a good time. And so if you haven't seen the Red Band trailer for Deadpool, you should definitely check it out because it's funny as shit.
I feel like it's too juvenile for me. I think it's going to miss the mark for me.
You think so?
I feel like it's going to be something that would have been really funny for me when I was 13.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think they're aiming for that, you know, that late teen, early 20, the people who cosplay as Deadpool, which is why I don't think it's going to make any money. I think there's this diehard vocal minority who are going to see it, but it's going to go away after 2 weeks and be, you know, a footnote in the annals of comic book movies. I don't know. I just woke up with a big smile on my face on Christmas morning. Maybe that's why I liked it so much, but it made me smile. Sure. But I could see, you know, being fun for 2 minutes is different than being fun for 2 hours. So you could be 100% on the mark, Justin.
I don't know. It might just be me. I might just be a grumpy goose.
And, of course, X-Men Apocalypse. I don't want to leave that out. I love Apocalypse, and I'm interested to see what how the franchise will end the First Class story and see if they give Jennifer Lawrence a bigger part.
Looks like they are.
Yeah.
Oh, God. When I went to see Star Wars, and they played the X-Men Apocalypse trailer, at the end of it, somebody in the audience whistled that song from The Hunger Games.
The Mockingjay thing? Yeah. Oh, yeah. That do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And right before they did it, though, I almost was kind of, hearing it in my mind anyway, because that trailer is so Jennifer Lawrence heavy.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like she's playing Katniss still.
I'm here. And the outfit is kind of similar too.
Yeah.
And she's not in her Mystique outfit. She's in her regular.
Yeah, she's not blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her normal face. No face damage. And don't forget, Warcraft comes out next year too.
I know. Oh, I'm excited for that.
Oh yeah, that trailer looked cool, but when I saw it, I think I don't know what happened, but they showed us a 3D version of it.
Oh, weird.
And it wasn't the 3D Star Wars that we were sitting in.
So nobody had glasses?
So nobody had glasses. And I was like, oh no. Did we accidentally walk into the 3D Star Wars? But then why wasn't anybody outside handing us glasses?
Yeah, that's weird.
And then you look around and realize no one else is wearing glasses.
Right,
and you're
yeah.
Oh my God, I'm freaking out.
So it was hard to watch because it was the 3D version.
It looks like
but
it'll
still
be
looked fun.
When we saw Creed, we got a trailer for Ride Along. Instead of Ride Along 2, they showed us the original Ride Along trailer.
Really?
Yeah, it was so weird. Yeah, it made no sense. We were like, I don't understand.
Are they re-releasing Ride Along?
Yeah, me and my buddy Linnell just looked at each other like, why are they showing us the whole trailer? I thought it was just going to be like a couple of seconds of the first movie and that'd be, to lay into Ride Along 2. But nope, it was the whole trailer for Ride Along.
Yeah.
Terrible. I mean, it's a funny movie, but that was bad timing.
It was funny a year.
Yeah.
It's an interesting way to market the second one.
Yeah.
It's like, shit, we don't have a trailer ready. Throw out the first one.
Yeah, I got the second trailer for Creed, so it's funny. Maybe there was a mix-up, someone copying over the files onto the hard drive or something.
Yeah, it must have been.
That's funny, though. What about you, Justin? What was 2015 in movies for you?
Ooh, so my list pretty much mirrors all of yours. This is no particular order, but The Martian, Kingsman, Mad Max, Straight Outta Compton, and Furious 7. I just love this shit out of Furious 7, and I can't believe that they were able to complete it, and I just had a smile on my face the entire time until the end when I started crying like a sad little girl. The music and Paul Walker's, even though it was super digitized, I didn't care. I was just crying. It was perfect. It was a beautiful ending, an awesome send off, and I loved it. A happy ending. I'm a sucker for a happy ending, Dave. You know this, and loved it all. But Star Wars is definitely up there. But these other movies just kind of. I've been riding their high all year long, so it seems unfair to just kind of boot one of them at the last minute.
Get out of here.
There hasn't been a podcast since these movies came out that we didn't mention either The Martian, Kingsman, Mad Max, Straight Outta Compton, or almost Furious 7. But, I mean, it has Jason Statham in it, for crying out loud.
Everyone's playing for second when Statham's on the
this,
board.
This is very true. Most underrated, I would say, is Terminator Genesis. I can't believe that I enjoyed the shit out of that movie. It totally surprised me.
That's a good call.
And no one's talking about it. So, it was a good one. I'm a fan of the Genesis. And Arnold crushed it. That's probably one of his greatest acting roles ever. I think it's interesting that both Stallone in Creed and Arnold in Terminator Genesis are just... really coming to terms with being amazing actors all of a sudden. It's nuts.
They're expendable machismo out of the way.
Yeah, and they're just bringing their A game, and I think that's fantastic.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about old folks bringing their A game in 2015, let's bring up Harrison Ford again, kicking ass in Star Wars.
Sure.
2015, the year for geriatrics.
Yeah. The year the 70-somethings came back.
The banner year for the AARP.
And, you know, Michael Douglas, he was in Ant-Man.
Shit, we haven't seen him
in a long time. Kind of a big deal.
God, I love that digital de-aging they did. It looks good.
Which is, it's funny you say that, because the only gripe that I have with Genesis is that Bill Paxton wasn't in it.
Yeah.
I feel like, because they did so many, they kind of recreated a lot of the original Terminator movie at the very beginning of the film.
He's in Terminator?
Yeah, yeah. He's one of the three goons at the LA Observatory.
Oh.
Yeah, his stuff taken from him.
Yeah, and it would have been great to have him be back in there. But what can you do? If Cameron directed it, you better believe Bill Paxton would have been in it.
Yeah.
That's just how that goes. Biggest disappointment? That's kind of tough. I would probably say either Avengers or Jurassic World. Neither one of those really did it for me. I went and saw him. On the big screen, I had my big tub of popcorn, I had my big old drink, I had all my candy. So I had everything going for me to put me in an amazing mood, and I just walked out of there just kind of meh.
Yeah. I think with Avengers, it was Disney's fault, like just the marketing of the film.
Oh, man.
And then the pre-marketing for Civil War. I think it just set us up to dislike it.
Yeah, I could buy that. I did enjoy Mission Impossible, Rogue One.
I see what you did there.
Throw that out there one last time for 2015. That was a good one. And then I haven't seen Hateful Eight, but I have a feeling that if I would have saw that, then it would probably make this list, because I'm a sucker for Tarantino.
Yeah.
I don't know, Dave.
I know your body.
You do. This is true. So that might have to make it for the list of 2016. Which, by the way, I'm super stoked about... Rogue Nation.
Rogue Nation 2, Rogue One.
But I gotta get...
I was like, you just talked about it. And I forgot you're making that joke again.
Yep, one last time. Now that's the last time.
Okay.
But, you can never have too much Star Wars, right? Even the bad ones are still fun to watch.
Heck yeah.
It's like sex or pizza. There's no such thing as bad sex or bad pizza.
Exactly.
What if you have
there's no
with
such
pizza?
Thing as bad sex for men.
True.
Oh, that's probably true.
Yes.
Girls are getting stabbed over and over again.
It's like a horror movie.
We literally get the short end of the stick.
Dang. Unless it's one of them tree trunk style penises.
Like a Coke can.
I'm jealous. I like those. Don't even fit in the glory hole.
Anyway,
indeed. Yeah, I think that's it, man.
Woo! Movies.
What about small screen?
Small screen. Oh yeah. So this is a fun one because it's not just TV. Now we got to consider original programming on both Netflix and Amazon Prime and Hulu for that matter. Yeah. So have at you, Amanda. What do you got for TV shows?
Well, I've mostly been watching a lot of Netflix, so all of mine are, like, Netflix shows. I really loved the second season of BoJack Horseman. I thought it really elevated the show to an even higher level. I feel like I'm being repetitive. And then Jessica Jones is really cool, and it made me... I liked Daredevil, but Jessica Jones made me really excited for the other Marvel TV shows that Netflix has coming next year. So because of that, I'm really looking forward to the Luke Cage's show. And then what's the other one?
The Defenders.
The Defenders, yeah. Better Call Saul was this year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And that was great. It was way better than I was expecting, like when I first heard that they were going to do that. And I'm really excited for the second season of that. And then I got turned on to this FX comedy called You're the Worst. It's actually in its second season this year, I believe. But it's really funny and good, and it's all about, you know, like, it takes a very different look at relationships and people, and it's cool. So you guys should watch it.
Will do.
But I was really disappointed by the second season of True Detective. That was just like the worst 8 or 9 episodes of TV I've ever seen.
I felt that way really for House of Cards. I thought this season of House of Cards was fucking dog shit.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
There you go. It was a forgettable season.
Yeah, it was terrible. I mean, I guess I kind of saw where it was going, but man,
nothing happened. It was awful. It was just
yeah,
the fallout really of bad. Their marriage because they were no longer a team. Give me a break.
Yeah, I don't know. That was weird. And then The Walking Dead disappointed me enough that I don't watch it anymore.
Oh yeah, see that's big. You know, a lot of untimely deaths.
I know it has supposedly made a, or it's bounced back, but I've they've already lost me. I have no interest in watching it anymore. I don't care how good it is now. I'm just over it.
How did you feel about season 3 of Orange is the New Black?
Oh.
Did you enjoy it?
I feel like I did. Oh, actually, that reminds me. Sense8. I loved Sense8.
Is that the transgender show or whatever?
No, that one's, it's like Heroes, but slightly different.
What's the one where these people are like, I say these people, I thought it was,
who's they?
I thought it was a Netflix show where they had some kind of special power, but they were also transgender or something. I don't know.
Oh, well, there is a
like
transgender. Sense8? Yeah, there is a trans character.
Oh, just one character. I thought they all were.
No, there's just
that's
one
their
of
powers.
Them.
That's what gives them their power.
Yeah, I really loved Sense8. I'm looking forward to the second season. If you haven't seen it yet, the first episode is pretty meh, but it's very obviously like a pilot, and it hits its stride very quickly after that, though. But going back to Orange is the New Black, I feel like I liked it. I mean, I binge watched the whole thing in like one weekend. Mm-hmm. I mean, I liked it because there was a lot less of Piper.
Yeah. See, that's interesting you say that because I think the show can survive without her.
For sure.
I think the main character is the prison, and
mm-hmm.
you know that's the main focus and what it does to people, and it's all their different backstories. I think her story has run its course, and we're done with
it. Right. And I did like how they really explored everybody a lot more this mm-hmm. season, and especially like Pensatucky.
Oh yeah, her story was brutal.
Yeah. Poof.
And when she was getting attacked by that piece of shit guard.
Yeah.
Ugh, it made me feel just dirty and uncomfortable. Didn't like that.
Mm-mm.
And I want that one. I'm glad that one chick had her baby finally. She's been pregnant for like
4 years.
Yeah, she's
been
years.
Pregnant forever.
And I didn't care for the hippie lake party at the end. That was kind of weird.
Yeah, that was a little weird. I don't really know what was going on there, but
there you go. Those are all good shows, Amanda.
Woo! And then, oh, I already said I was looking forward to. Never mind. Marvel shows.
Oh yeah, you like the S.H.I.E.L.D. show.
Oh wait, not on TV Marvel
but
shows.
The Netflix
ones. I stopped watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. a long time ago.
Oh really? It's supposed to be really good.
Yeah, I don't know. When what's his face came back or whatever, I was just like, ugh, I can't do this anymore. I can't stand Sky. Just can't. She never got better for me.
Well, isn't she the main person on the show?
Yeah, exactly.
Daisy.
Daisy Fuentes?
No, it's not her name.
She does Pilates.
It's like Chloe something. Can't remember. Anyway, that's it.
Top notch. Who is next? Randy? Or Dave?
Yeah. I'll go next. I don't care.
You don't care. You don't give a fuck. What's your favorite show?
I just finished binge watching this last week. Jessica Jones was probably my favorite show of 2015. But I also have a lot of love for Daredevil and Game of Thrones. I know you weren't really all that happy with this season, but I thought I had enough good stuff in it to still get my goat. The Flash is getting better and better, so I'm still on board that train. And Ash versus the Evil Dead, I really enjoyed the hell out of that. I think I'm all caught up on that show right now. I just started watching it just this past week, and I got all caught up, and I'm loving the shit out of it. Worst TV for me, I'm kind of with Amanda that I'm falling off of the wagon, or off the bandwagon, I guess, for Walking Dead, but Fear the Walking Dead was even worse, I feel. I just can't really get into it, and I couldn't stand the Johnny Depp wannabe emo kid, and the whole family dynamic just isn't working for me with the family. So I'm still going to watch next season, but it's one of those things that it's going to be – I'll watch it begrudgingly.
For homework?
You'll watch it, but you're not going to like it.
Exactly. And if I do like it, then hey, it's a bonus. And maybe it'll be on a different list at the end of next year. But underrated for me, I may have mentioned this at the end of last year, but I really like this show, Halt and Catch Fire. I don't know if you guys have watched that
I'm
at all.
I'm aware of it.
It's set in
it.
The 80s, you know, during the time of, you know, when like the Macintosh was first being released, that kind of thing. It's very cool and retro. The first season was better. They just ended the second season this year. The first season I think was better, but it's still a really solid show, and I'm looking forward to seeing season 3.
Can you explain what the title means?
I've
always
been
curious about that because it's totally meaningless to me.
It is a programming term.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know.
Yeah. What I'm looking forward to most for next year, X-Files, the return of the X-Files. In fact, there's just a 21-minute clip released online today to get us excited for it. So even though it's a miniseries and not like a full season, I'm totally looking forward to that. Looking forward to season 2 of Jessica Jones and Daredevil. So for me, for my money, Netflix is really delivering.
Mm-hmm. Killing it.
And how.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was complaining about the rates going up, but look at the programming that they're delivering.
Yeah. Totally worth it. Especially since I don't pay for Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Justin.
How about that?
You're my favorite cousin. Oh.
It's a write-off. You just write it off. Dave.
Yeah?
Mr. Grape Soda.
I like it.
Hit me with your favorite TV shows of 2015, and we're going to not count reality programming because I know you're a sucker for that shit.
Yeah, I wasn't going to put Survivor on this year. I thought I had the last 2 years. The first season of Survivor for the year was kind of mad. The second season that just finished airing was really good, but I didn't want to repeat myself 3 years in a row by listing Survivor. So I like comedies, obviously. You know, I left the Walking Dead train a long time ago. So this year, I love the show Blackish because Anthony Anderson is a super funny man, and I love it so much. The Netflix show Masters of None, Aziz Ansari, his show is awesome.
Masters of None.
That's what I said.
Starring Aziz Ansari. You said Masters.
And what I say?
Masters.
Oh, plural. I put a plural there?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I'm the asshole.
By the Aziz Ansari. Yeah.
I know, but I never say it right. So now,
sorry for what?
So now I'm never gonna say it right. It's like Justin's Roby Robbie thing, and
or Channing Tatum or Tatum Channing.
James, who can remember all these names and stuff? This was the year I got into The Flash, and I really like what I'm seeing with The Flash. As far as, you know, disappointments, Game of Thrones was a huge disappointment this year. I think the first 7 episodes were just a slog. I mean, the Hard Home episode 8, you know, for a little bit, but then it just kind of petered out for me. So for me, that was my biggest disappointment, as well as probably House of Cards and Orange is the New Black's new series. Both of them seemed kind of flat, especially House of Cards, because I was so amped for the first two seasons. As far as what I'm looking forward to most for 2016, ironically, it's Game of Thrones, because now we're at the point to where we don't, you know, us book readers are an even playing field with people like Randy who don't read. And so it's kind of exciting to not know what's going to happen. To see some of these fan theories, to see what's going to happen, to see. And what really is going to be interesting to see what the HBO show is going to be able to bring to the table as far as the big story moments that I'm sure will kill George R. R. Martin, that they get to do it before he does. You know, especially if, you know, what if the TV show gets to talk about Jon Snow's parents before George R. R. Martin's able to put it out on his own. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of like the big question marks for the whole series. And it just seems like if I were the author of this huge sweeping epic, to kind of have my story scooped by this television show would just be like this big middle finger to me. And so it should be interesting to see. So that's my 2015 TV. I don't watch a lot, but you know, what I watch, I guess.
What about you, Justin?
TV shows? I don't know. Jessica Jones, really good. Better Call Saul is really good. As far as The Flash goes, I really like it. I like it more than Arrow. Arrow lost me. I still watch it, but only because I feel like I have to. But I dig The Flash, especially Jesse Martin. I think that guy kills it. Joe West. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I think
from Law and Order.
Yeah, I think he is just the best actor on that show. And there are scenes with him that he just steals the entire episode. Like there was one this last season where he was talking about how to the Flash, he was saying, you know, I raised you, I care about you, and I've always been there for you. And I'm getting like all teary eyed. I'm like, oh my god, I can't believe I'm crying over this fucking TV show. It cracked me up. But he's just so good, and he brings it to the table every time, and I really like that about him. But I think that's it, man. I guess I just don't watch a lot of TV shows these days. Again, biggest disappointment would probably be Game of Thrones. I just was not feeling the direction that they were going in. I thought it was just way too goddamn slow. There were a couple of scenes that kind of grinded my gears. Obviously, when Selmy didn't make it, I didn't like the way that was handled. And, you know, there was that one scene where Stannis' daughter got burned. Do you remember that? That was some hardcore shit.
Oh, God, that was horrible.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think about it. It just left a sour taste in my mouth. For a show that's like gone to great lengths to just anger its viewers on a repeat basis, that one just kind of stood out the most for me. I just did not like that at all. That was a little hardcore for me, man. But again, Dave, I think you were right. With Hard Home, that was an episode that just kind of just killed it and kind of brought the show back. Seeing those White Walkers in action. All we've ever heard was mostly just talk, with minus a few, you know, battles or skirmishes here or there with one or two at a time. So whoop-de-doo, they really brought it on that one, which is unusual because it was episode 8, and episode 9 is usually the hardcore episode for Game of Thrones. That's usually the big draw, but whatevs. Biggest disappointment for me also would be Arrow again, because I lost my interest in that show. I fucking hate it now. Especially when they brought back Sarah. I hate how death isn't permanent in TV shows. It bothers me.
Yeah, commit.
Mostly that TV show.
Yeah. Everyone can die now and just come right back. And that's just annoying. So. Anywho. I don't know. Looking forward to, I guess, another season of Jessica Jones. And then to piggyback off David, it will be interesting to see what the story is with Game of Thrones. This is a whole new direction for us. A lot of surprises. I don't think that they can waste time. I mean, it's 10 episodes, and they got to fucking move and groove. I don't want to see them just dragging their feet for 6 or 7 episodes. I remember last year I fell asleep during the premiere. That says a lot, right? It's supposed to be this whole episode that that hooks you, and I was asleep 20 minutes into it. I had to rewatch it. That's awful.
No bueno.
No good at all. So, anywho, what's next? Anybody play any video games?
No, probably not. I haven't played games in forever.
I play a game or two.
What you playing? Did you do you have any favorites? Probably like Splatoon or some shit.
Dude, Splatoon's a lot of fun.
I know.
As far as my games, I'd put Splatoon on as one of my favorite games of the year. I'm loving Battlefront because I love Star Wars and I've always been a fan of the Battlefront franchise. And then I'm surprisingly still having a lot of fun, you know, making and playing levels in Mario Maker. I know some people have kind of fizzled out with their love, but it's amazing to see what a community can do and see some of these levels that these people have created. Gives you a real appreciation for, you know, kind of the craft of making levels in video games and how hard it is to do. And I've really thoroughly been enjoying it. I don't really have a big disappointment other than Minecraft, because my fucking kids just will not stop playing or talking or watching videos about it, and I just don't get it. I feel like I've never felt so old. It's like the only thing I've just don't get as right. far as with the next generation. And what I'm looking forward to is hopefully next year we get Zelda Wii U. You know, I'll be happy if I get that. What about you?
Oh man, I played so many awesome games this year. Gosh, I don't even know where to begin. Dying Light was incredible. Mortal Kombat 10. I would throw Splatoon and Mario Maker on that list. Fucking The Witcher 3. Even Assassin's Creed Syndicate, for crying out loud. You know, those games are always hit or miss, and it's like every other year is not so good. But I thought Syndicate was phenomenal. I enjoyed every second, and I couldn't put it down. I played it till I beat it. It was a long 3 days for me, and I put in a lot of hours. And then after I beat it, I just kept going because I wanted to just complete it 100%. And still working on it, but I'm trying. And then Metal Gear Solid 5. There was so much hype around that game, you know, with Hideo Kojima leaving Konami and everything. The gameplay itself was amazing, but the story I thought was the worst. So it actually left a bad taste in my mouth, but seeing what they can do with video games in 2015, I think that it's going to be an exciting future for gaming. And that's all I have to say about that. But I mean, I think because I love Star Wars, I'm enjoying Battlefront 2. That game's getting hammered in reviews, and everyone, you look on Amazon, it's got like 2 stars, but I can't stop playing it. It's kind of weird, right? Everyone hates it.
You just like bad things.
Yeah. Why am I playing it? Yeah, exactly. The worst. Call of Duty, I mean, I would say disappointments. I would probably say Black Ops 3. As someone that's played every Call of Duty game and finished them all, I didn't enjoy Black Ops 3 at all. It's just, it wasn't sitting well with me. Halo 5, I thought the campaign was pretty weak, but I'm enjoying the multiplayer.
Yeah, I saw someone post it like it was like a limp noodle.
That makes sense.
That's what they called it.
But yeah, it's a good year for games, man. There's a lot of good games this year. And I don't think, I mean, even if you only picked up 3 titles throughout the whole year, if you got any one of the ones that I mentioned, you would enjoy the hell out of yourself.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
So, I mean, and that's not, there's other ones too, like Arkham Knight, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Bloodborne. There's a lot of games out there that you could spend so much time playing and enjoying yourself and get your money's worth. It was a year where you didn't have to buy every single game to get the most out of your console. You could literally pick up 3 or 4 games the entire year and play them over and over and over again and get the most out of them. We haven't had a year like that in gaming in a while. So.
And then you play them, and then you can you play the ones you like, and then when you have time for the other ones, they're on clearance and they're like half price.
Oh, I know. It's almost stupid to buy a game when it first comes out. Why pay $60 when it's going to be half that in a couple weeks? It's nuts.
Yeah, that bit me in the ass this year, because normally like Target, like the day after Christmas, always puts like the big games like on sale for like $37.77 because they have all the people returning without receipts, and I always win that game, but this year they didn't do it. I was like, oh, I'll pick up, you know, Fallout or something, you know, day after like Christmas for $37.77. They open my paper, I'm like, oh, what the fuck, Target?
That's funny. Speaking of Target, have you seen the movie Career Opportunities?
Heck yeah.
That whole movie
the
takes place.
Young Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that Frank Whaley guy.
Yeah.
Oh my god, he's such an idiot. But yeah, that movie, it's almost all in a Target.
Yeah.
It's fucking an 80s Target for that matter.
Yeah, it's a damn fine movie.
Or 91, I guess, is when it came out. But
Jennifer Connelly's all young and
nubile.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's riding that little thing where you put a quarter in and just go to town.
Sucking on a lollipop.
That's good shit. And that one guy, what is his name? Dermot Mulroney.
not
Dylan McDermott. He can look like such a dirty guy all the time. It's so funny. Like he looks like the same dude in Young Guns. Just like this creepy little cowboy. I don't know. I can't get into him at all. He just rubs me the wrong way. He's so dirty. Navajo.
Nah.
Anywho. Fucking Target. Love it. Love Target.
Yeah.
Favorite store.
Well, I reached out on my Facebook to ask a couple people what they their big things for 2015 were, and I got a couple of responses. So a couple friends of the show, Charles Lung, he said his biggest disappointment of the film universe was Star Wars The Force Awakens. He just thought it was a little too much of a rehash of, you know, episode 4, and he had some complaints. He loves The Walking Dead. He loves Fear the Walking Dead, and he can't wait for the show Black Sails to come back. He says that's a really good show. And actually, I may have to check it out on his recommendation. He's also super into Ash versus the Evil Dead.
I would also recommend Black Sails. It is a pretty cool show.
Yeah, it's our buddy Michael Bay, so what could go wrong? Another friend of the show, Kevin Campbell, said his biggest disappointment was Star Wars The Force Awakens. I think he just had something up his butt when he watched it, and he's just all sorts of angry about it. Our buddy Jeff Mueller, who I butchered his name last week because my head wasn't working right. He's going to send us his hate pretty soon. He didn't have time to get it to us in time, but I just wanted to pronounce his name right to let him know that I can pronounce it right. And then Andy Cobble, his favorite film of the year was Nonstop to Comic-Con. Good film, good film. You should all check it out. 2016 is going to be the year of it. He also loved Star Wars, Ash vs. the Evil Dead, Jurassic World. He was a little disappointed that the people are so duped into thinking Walking Dead is worth a second of anyone's day. So apparently he's not a Walking Dead fan. He says it's the shittiest of shit shows and bummed that so many people won't let themselves escape in a movie anymore. Rubble, rubble, rubble. He's also looking forward to people shitting on Rogue One and Episode 8 after that. Should be fun to watch the cynicism unfold. But he did love Mortal Kombat X and Battlefront. Sweet. That's all I got. But you had something, Justin, right?
Yeah, I had some. Mr. Brett Anderson says Mad Max, Fallout 4, and Rick and Morty. You guys watch Rick and Morty?
Oh, yeah. It's a really funny show.
Yeah, it's pretty nutso. Mr. Travis D says Final Fantasy 14, Heaven's Ward. Sorry.
Heaven's Ward,
yeah. That's the expansion. That's the first expansion for Final Fantasy 14. I tried 14 and couldn't get into it at all, so I quit playing, let alone the expansion. Alaba Wakoma says Arkham Knight and Rick and Morty. That's two Rick and Mortys. It's pretty good. Let's see. Mr. Mark Siner says Fallout 4 for sure. Loves it. Our own Felix Mwih. He says Jurassic World. How about that? Also, The Man in the High Castle, which none of us have read or watched.
Nope.
We are losers.
Philip K. Dick. Losers.
That Philip K. Dick, man, he's always writing about something. I think it's pretty cool that he's a relatively current author and his work is in school's curriculum. It's kind of neat. Like, almost an instant classic. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's a pretty big deal. I am not nearly as talented, and I will forever be jealous. Just throwing that out there. Then on the Twitter, we got some more action. Let's see here. Our good buddy from Flipping the Nerd, Stephen Alva Wood, He says, movies, Mad Max, Creed, and The Force Awakens, games, Dying Light, and Fallout 4, TV, The Leftovers. Oh, my God, we hated that show when we tried watching it. Guess we'll have to give it a go again. Walking Dead. What?
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, the second season is actually pretty good.
No.
To where it finally kind of found its stride. And so the second season that just finished was actually a very good season. It was like the opposite of True Detective that went from great to shit. It went from mediocre to really, really good.
So that's interesting because we were just talking about how something's not worth our time, and that's asking a lot to invest a whole season before it gets good.
I think if you saw the pilot if you saw the pilot so you knew the premise of the show, you could probably jump into season two with just the, like, previously on Leftovers type thing.
See, I don't like the people that don't talk. They drove me nuts.
Yeah. Well, we're in a totally different place now, and it's this whole thing of this small town where supposedly nobody was taken, and, you know, intrigue unravels and stuff like that. So it feels like a totally different show. It feels like they realized the first season didn't work, and that they completely retooled the show and kind of altered, like, the show's theme and focus.
So
and
that's,
it really works.
That's the real danger with some of these shows, because they film the whole season at once, and then they say, here, watch. But whereas shows on network television, they get a couple episodes in, get the feedback, and then they make the changes immediately.
Yeah.
That's kind of a
big difference. Yeah, I mean, network TVs, they're about, you know, 8 episodes ahead, 8 to 9 episodes ahead, to where, you know, the whole season for Leftovers is, you know, 10 episodes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in theory, they would probably have the same lead-in time, but since their series is so short, then, you know, they don't get it.
Yeah, they're fucked.
So, yeah, so they got to wait a whole new season to fix it.
Yeah, which is a year, which is asking a lot. Also, he added Game of Thrones, just throwing that out there. Then he added at Geek Legacy extra category best podcast Geek Legacy. Oh dang, Comic Corner and Pixelated Pod, which is done. Sorry. anywho, Jennifer Langdon shows The Flash, Supergirl, and Minority Report. Do you guys watch a Minority Report?
Mm-mm.
No.
I'm not either.
I forgot that was
a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tony Tolato, sci-fi talk, he loves it too.
Speaking of Philip K. Dick.
Exactly. He wrote that too. Man, busy guy. let's see. The Force Awakens for movies, The Martian, Cinderella. Can't say I saw that one. Is that the one with Kenneth Branagh directed?
Yeah. Should also be noticed that Philip K. Dick died, you know, 32 years ago.
But that's still pretty good. 1980s?
Yeah. No, I know. We were making saying he was a busy guy. Didn't want people to think we didn't know that.
Right. But I mean, either way, what I'm saying is, here's a guy that died in the 80s, in our lifetime, and his fucking work is read in colleges and high schools. That's fucking nuts. While he was still alive, mind you. That's
quite He's like our generation's Mark Twain.
Yes.
Those are big shoes to fill.
Oh, he writes about his river boats and N-words.
Samuel Clemson.
Mark Twain. He's a fine young man. I like the movie Huckleberry Finn, or Huck Finn with Elijah Wood. I like the part.
Disney version?
Yeah, he's like, some call me Sarah, some call me Mary. Oh my god, that's some funny shit. Oh, Mr. at DigiFluid. He gave us a nice list. Best TV. Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Unbreakable.
Unbreakable.
Kimmy Schmidt. Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Is that what the whole show is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't
think of the thing without singing the theme song that Amanda just did.
Oh, there you go.
It's so
yeah,
happy.
That's what I was doing.
Surprisingly good TV. The Expanse. American Horror Story. Hotel. Into the Badlands. Are you guys watching Badlands?
Mm-mm.
No.
What's that? Oh, wait. Is that based on a game?
Into the Badlands? I don't
Wait.
Know.
Wait. No. No, that's not. Never mind. I was thinking Borderlands.
Oh. Which is, that would be awesome if there was a show. I think Mad Max is the closest thing we'll ever get to it. But that's pretty fucking sweet. Most disappointed, TV Fear of the Walking Dead. I agree. That was a pretty dumb show. Randy, you pretty much summed that up too. I never wanted to watch it ever again. But
after one episode, you could tell.
Mm-hmm. Best movie, Mad Max. Okay, so Dave, as someone who loves the Academy Awards, do you think that Mad Max has a shot since the whole world seems to love it?
It probably will get, it'll get some nods. I bet that George, because George Miller, who directed it, he has an Academy Award. He wrote the first and second Babe movies. And he also wrote Lorenzo's Oil, so he has history with the Academy, and people like the underdog story from the Academy, and so it'll probably get a Best Director, and it'll probably score a Best Film, just because they do 9 to 10 nods now. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll get nominated. It has no chance of winning Best Picture, but it'll get a nod.
What about Charlize Theron?
It's going to be a hard row to sow. They put her in the best actress category, even though you could argue best supporting actress for her. I don't think she'll even get a nomination. And Tom Hardy won't either.
Yeah, he didn't really do. I mean, he was in it, but he didn't do anything.
Correct. Right.
Arguably, I'd say she did way more than he did.
Yeah.
So even though technically she would be a supporting role, it feels to me that it's more of a leading role.
Yeah,
just from content.
Her, and same thing with like Rebecca Ferguson from Rogue One / Rogue Nation. See, we could do it one more time. I think the films kind of parallel each other in that they have these strong female protagonists who have their own agenda, their own story, their own that they're not just clones of their male heroes that are also in the film. You know, Rebecca Ferguson's character is not a female Ethan Hunt. You know, and Furiosa is definitely not, isn't just a female Mad Max. And I think that this year, I think we got a lot of strong, empowered females. You know, we got Rey from Star Wars, and I think this is going to go down as hopefully the turning point, and hopefully, you know, Wonder Woman can kind of put a big, you know, exclamation point in that female action heroes are bankable. You know, and I think this year was a good step in that direction.
Well, we had Tank Girl and Barb Wire and Catwoman, and all these other awesome movies.
Yeah,
and they're not bankable.
And they didn't make any money.
No.
And that's why women can't make. That's why we can't have women in films because of that. Target sells this. No, I mean, sure, it's not just. Well, it is Target exclusive. They sell this 6-pack of Force Awakens 12-inch figures, and it's Kylo Ren, it's Han Solo, it's
Han's Chewie, not in it.
Is Han's not in it?
No.
It's Finn, Poe, Stormtrooper, TIE Pilot, Kylo Ren.
And Chewbacca.
Wow. And
Chewie, okay. Yeah.
So no Rey, you know, the lead of the film, you know.
What?
And then you couple that with the fact that, you know, 6 months ago they released an Avengers one with all the Avengers sans Black Widow. A year ago, same thing, all the Guardians of the Galaxy sans Gamora. You know, Disney hates women. Just saying. They make all these princess movies, but push comes to shove. They don't like women's.
Yeah, it's like they put Chewie in instead of her. They could have had it just be the three new leads. And they put in a freaking TIE fighter pilot when it could have been Captain Phasma if they wanted to get even more female love in for that 6-pack. But definitely.
She's a female.
Yeah, it definitely got a lot of panties in a bunch on the internet.
Yeah, it's kind of frustrating.
And I feel like most toy collectors are nerdy boys who would be more than happy to own a female toy. That's just me. How mine works. I think that every guy out there would be like, oh, sweet, it's a Rey toy. I'm going to get it.
Well, it's funny because ever since the even the 80s, and maybe even before then, the female figures were always short-packed. And I can speak from the experience of collecting the toys from Raiders of the Lost Ark in the 80s when that movie came out. Mm-hmm. The Marion Ravenwood figure was next to impossible to find. Now, granted, I didn't get into it till like the 90s, and she was already selling for over $100 at that point. But it was just because they made so many fewer of them because they didn't think, because it was considered a boy toy at the time, they didn't think they'd want,
like Shawn Michaels,
a girl in a dress action figure kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, even if she did come with a cool little monkey.
I remember my Tila and my Evelyn figures were horrible. Like, they were just done badly. There was nothing exciting about them.
Well, most of the He-Man characters just, I didn't think were all that exciting.
They're not, but I'm playing with He-Man, so it's exciting. But I remember Tilo just kind of stood there. She had these big old shoulders. Same with Eva Lyn. And they were almost like the same, but one was just painted yellow.
Probably the same mold, just different paint job.
Pretty crappy.
Yeah.
Anywho. But I was like, because I mean, I play with G.I. Joes and He-Man, but I always got every character that I could get my hands on.
Yeah.
So if they made a toy for something, then I would get it. But, oh well. Disney's crazy. What else did he have on here? I'm sorry. This is back to Ad Digifluid. Best movie, Mad Max. Surprisingly good movie, Jurassic World and Star Wars. He's surprised that Star Wars was good. That's funny. Disappointing movie, Age of Ultron and Terminator. So that's where I disagree with him, because I enjoyed the shit out of Terminator. Our buddies over at the NinjaBot. Favorite movie, Mad Max. Oh, and the game. They like the Mad Max game as well, which I've been playing, and I just cruise around and run people over. It's basically GTA out in the desert. It's kind of nuts. Obviously, The Force Awakens for movie 2, Rainbow Six Siege for game. It's also a fun game, but it's pretty much strictly multiplayer, so you got to have friends to really enjoy it. I play with a lot of people at work, so it's pretty cool for me. Favorite TV shows, The Flash and iZombie. Are any of you watching iZombie?
No.
Yeah, you do.
It's on Hulu. Amanda, if you want to watch it.
I guess we should be watching it.
I don't really care about zombies.
I don't really either. I think I'm done with zombies.
But you can't be done with zombies.
I think so. I think I'm just done right over.
Zombie fatigue. Too much Walking Dead.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
So, are you going to try watching Walking Dead when Negan shows up? Just to give it a go? Dave, since you're such a big fan?
I probably will, in all honesty. I think it was a good idea to bring him on when, you know, the possibility of fatigue may be setting in, especially with two series. You know, it wasn't the ratings juggernaut that it has been in the past. I mean, sure, it did well. You know, it's not like a failure by any stretch of the imagination, but we weren't getting weekly email press releases saying, oh, this week we broke the record again, and this and that. So I think that when Negan comes in, I think there's going to be a lot of people who come back.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I think when everyone went all pissy because of Glenn spoilers, that showed how many people are still watching it and are passionate about the show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know we're not hearing about the numbers every 5 seconds, but there are people that take their Walking Dead very seriously.
I agree.
Howard Johnson
is
right. Oh, jeez. Anything else? Do we have a game? Do we have a list? We have a list! Holy shit.
Holy crap. We do have a list, and this one's kind of fun. So, this one also makes me a little sad, because I'm not down with the pirating of movies, considering we hope to make some money with making movies. So, but what I have for you is the top 10 pirated movies of 2015. And this is published by Variety, so this is pretty legit here. Now, this isn't just movies that were released in 2015. It just means that they were illegally downloaded during the calendar year 2015. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. Number 10 is a movie called The Secret Service. I'm not even 100% sure what that is, but it was released in 2014.
Is it Kingsman?
Is it Kingsman Secret Service?
It doesn't say Kingsman. It just says The Secret Service.
I think that's kind of what...
Was Kingsman released in 2014?
It was... No. Maybe overseas it was, but...
Yeah, maybe it was called something slightly different overseas.
But it's called Kingsman the Secret Service is what it's ultimately called.
Yeah.
It says 2014 on IMDb, but I don't think it hit the States until 2015.
Well, yeah. Then in that case, it may have been abroad first, which, as we all know, leads to being pirated. So, yeah, Kingsman, number 10. I could totally see that. Number 9, Terminator Genesis.
See, that was
31
that movie.
Million downloads.
See, people wanted to watch it, but they didn't want to pay the money to see it. That's sad.
Another one that people understandably don't want to pay the money to see. Number 8, The Hobbit, Battle of the Five Armies. 31.5 million downloads.
How do they track that shit?
I don't know. These are probably just the ones that they can track through BitTorrent sites, that kind of thing.
Yeah, see, that's a scary thing.
Yeah, this doesn't even cover some of the more... discrete peer-to-peer sharing services.
Yeah.
Number seven, 50 Shades of Grey, 32.1 million downloads. Number six, American Sniper, 2014, getting 33.9 million downloads. Number five, Mad Max Fury Road, 36.4 million. Number four, Jurassic World, 36.8 million downloads. Number three, Avengers Age of Ultron, 41.5 million downloads.
Wait, can we go back to Jurassic World really quick?
Sure, sure.
I saw some ridiculous stat, like, where that was the most sold thing on Amazon, but to the point where they were able to say how many, the weight of it compared to how many real Tyrannosaurus Rexes that would have been. It was so stupid. It was a really dumb article, but it made me laugh.
The weight for the amount of DVDs or Blu-rays sold or something like that?
X amount of T-Rexes. It was pretty funny.
To be honest, even though it definitely wasn't my favorite movie of the year, I own all the other Jurassic Park movies, so I'll eventually buy Jurassic World if it fits in with the others nicely. And I don't buy movies very often. You know, I'll pay to go see them when they first come out, or I'll watch them on cable, but I rarely ever buy physical media anymore. Mm-hmm. But I'll actually buy a copy of Jurassic World. Same reason I'll buy a copy of Star Wars, just so it fits into my collection.
Oh, yeah. See, I'll have to get the Star Wars, too. Yeah. I feel like that's one that I could watch over and over again, but I don't want to go to the movies to see it over and over again, like you guys.
I want to see it one more time in the theater, I think. Or maybe I'll try to go the drive-in experience, even though it's cold as hell. Mm-hmm. I just think it'd be so much fun to see a Star Wars movie to drive-in. I never have. So, I think I did number three, which is Avengers Age of Ultron with 41.5 million. Number two, Furious 7. That's one you guys can get behind. 44.7 million downloads. And then number one on the list, I don't fucking get it, Interstellar. 46.7 million downloads.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
But I will say that the only time I've seen Interstellar was from a questionably legal copy of it. So maybe I'm part of the problem. But I didn't download it. It was given to me.
I thought you got it from, like, the Academy or something.
I'm sure they originated from the Academy, originally.
Well, that's what most of the torrents are for a lot of movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, especially this time of year, screener season. Hmm. So.
I hear Nolan's making a World War II movie now.
Yeah, Drunkards or whatever.
So that is our list this week.
What a fun list.
A fun list.
I mean, our whole podcast has been pretty much lists of 2015, but I figure this one is something we don't talk about too often.
Pirates.
Piracy.
Yarr.
Space pirates.
I'm a guard.
I'm supposed to be guard. Yeah, we're guards. I like pirates.
Like ice pirates.
I like the pirate that's being chased around by the fat lady with the roller pin.
Yeah. Well, now they have it so that he's carrying food. So she's after him for the food. It used to be sex. So there used to be on those little roundabouts in Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland, for anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about, back in the 90s and all the way back to the 60s when that ride was first put in, they had these little vignettes as you're going through the town on your little boat there. And you would see all these pirates chasing after women. And they were like, you could tell from the look on their face and their tongue hanging out that they were all about the sex, and they were going to try to rape and pillage their way through this little Disney town. And somewhere in the mid-90s, they realized, holy crap, this is totally not politically correct. We need to change it up. So they changed it, and basically they still had the exact same animatronic figures, but they changed the order so that the women were chasing the men around, and the men had stuff that they were trying to steal in their hands, and the women were chasing after them. And the only one that... And they may have kept some of the order the same, so a man was chasing a woman around, but he was trying to get what's in her hands, not what's under her skirt.
I thought they changed it to where they all were chasing women with food, and then they changed it again to what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it's changed a couple times over the years, but originally, from the 60s to the 90s, it was, horny men chasing the women. And then there was this one, like, fat chick who was chasing this guy around who she clearly wanted some action, and he didn't want any part of it. And that was, like, that was the joke. That was the punchline, essentially. And now they still have it almost identically the same look on both of their faces. But now she's chasing after him with a roller pin, and he's got, like, a cooked turkey in his hand, in his arms or something like that. She's trying to get the food away from him. But anyway, it used to be a fun little, totally politically incorrect piece of Disney history that no longer exists.
And it's sad.
And it's sad. Sad.
Sweet. You guys want to play a game?
Mm-hmm.
Do I ever?
It's pretty fun, pretty easy. You know, I love marketing. You know, I'm always bitching about this film being marketed poorly or this film being marketed well. And so one of the first things of marketing you'll ever see is the taglines on the posters. And so I just made a list of 10 posters that I really like the tagline on. So I will give you the tagline that's on the poster, and I want you guys to tell me the name of the film. As soon as you know it, just shout it out. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm. Cool.
All right, this first one is from 2007. The Last Man on Earth is Not Alone was the tagline of
I Am Legend.
I Am Legend. Justin on the board with one. Good job, buddy. All right, next up, a romantic comedy with zombies from 2004.
Zombieland?
Nope.
Warm Bodies.
That was too soon.
Damn it. Oh, I forgot the year.
I don't know.
Shaun
of
the
Dead.
What
year was it?
Forget that there's romance in that.
Yeah. All right, this one's from 2006. Are You Watching Closely?
Oh, a Prestige!
There you go.
I love that.
I would not have gotten that.
All right. Too many good magic movies out there.
This Tom Cruise movie from 1988. When he pours, he rains.
The Rain Man?
Oh, nope. God.
When he pours, he rains.
Oh, Cocktail.
There you go.
It's a bartending movie. I can't think of the name of it.
Oh.
That movie's stupid.
Yeah. All right. On your buzzers. Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters. All right. This is one of those 1994 Academy films that Forrest Gump beat for the Academy Award. Tagline, 50 million people watched, but no one saw a thing.
Quiz Show?
Randy.
I love that movie.
Nice.
Charles Van fucking Doren.
Of course he had the answer.
Such a good movie. What the hell is egregious?
All right, this 1978 sequel, just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water.
Jaws 2.
No, I don't know.
Randy can have it.
All right.
Got it.
All right. From 1978, You'll Believe a Man Can Fly.
Superman. Oh, shit. I heard Randy's voice, so I'll give it.
All right. Ooh, making it close. All right.
Son of a bitch, Van Dyke.
1979, In Space.
Alien!
There you go, Justin. Justin 5, Randy 3, 1 left, Golden Snitch. Actually, no, I got a bonus question. Randy, if you're going to both, you guys can be co-leads. 1982, Man is the Warmest Place to Hide by John Carpenter.
Oh, Escape from New York?
Nope.
Oh! The Thing.
Man.
Yeah, it was The Thing. No points, but that'll allow you to win the game, Justin. You know your poster catch lines. Taglines.
Can't believe that. The Thing. Was that the bonus?
No, it was a bonus, but you won.
Oh.
The bonus is from a horrible movie that is like a cult classic for bad movies. It's unwittingly, he trained a dolphin to kill the president of the United States.
Oh, I know that movie. Motherfucker. I don't suppose Blue's in it.
Nope. First word is Day.
It's not Day of the Dolphin, is it?
It is.
Oh, my God.
It was one of those, like, orca clones.
Yeah. My dad made me watch that. I remember we were in the video store, and he's like, "Oh, man, this movie's cool." Those are his exact words. Movie's cool. God.
And was it?
No, it wasn't. Day of the Dolphin. Son of a bitch.
Changed your life.
Yeah. I knew it.
Bring it back. You did. Proud of you. Directed by Mike Nichols.
Oh, well. What a great show.
Yay. It was.
It's a long one.
Good times.
We didn't even start it till like an hour into the show. We were just talking. That's what we always do. But does anyone have any last-minute shout-outs for the year?
Nope, just good year, guys. I'm happy to do another year with you guys, and it's been fun.
Oh, shit. It has been fun.
I concur.
What episode is this? Does anyone know?
170-something.
Man, that's a lot.
172, 173?
173 was the Star Wars one. So 174. Which, by the way, if you have seen The Force Awakens, you should definitely check out last week's episode where we just dissect the shit out of this movie. If you haven't suffered from Star Wars overload, you should definitely give it a go. It is one of our best episodes, I think.
I agree. I concur.
And that says a lot, because we've had some pretty good episodes.
I think so. They're all Star Wars related. All the really good ones.
Time to change the focus. All Star Wars.
Yes. All Star Wars all the time.
Yeah, Amanda's in.
Yeah, she can't, she can't wait to watch Rogue Nation.
No! I mean, I don't mind. I'll watch it. I'll enjoy it, probably.
How many Bothans do die trying to get
many.
The lens for this?
All of them.
Many.
A person, a place, or a thing. What is a Bothan?
If you watch Force Awakens, you see one at the Capitol Planet as it's about to be destroyed. Like right next to who I'm assuming is the Chancellor or whatever they call it in The Force Awakens. There's a little like hairy creature. He's a Bothan.
They look kind of like a lion slash camel.
Yes, they look kind of like they are bipedal, and they kind of have like a lionish type face.
Hmm.
Like a cat like face.
They look like they're a no nonsense kind of race. I see this one with glasses, like a.
They are not. They don't fuck around. They're schemers. They're politicians to the core. Can't trust them with nothing.
Is it going to be a gaggle of Bothans? What do we call a bunch of them? A flock?
A bunch of Bothans.
Yeah, a bunch of Bothans. Sounds good.
I mean, just go for alliterations.
We should be a bunch of Bothans.
B.O.B.
Yeah.
That should be our podcast.
Bunch of Bothans. Bunch of Bothans podcast.
There you go.
Yeah.
Write it down before someone takes it.
I'm in. Let's do it. Just start recording right now. Just delete the smile.
Elegant dinner parties.
We stab each other in the back.
There you go. Are there any Bothan Jedi?
There are.
Any known Bothan Jedi? Are there any known Bothan Sith Lords?
I don't believe so.
Ooh.
I don't believe so.
Interesting.
There is one. There's one. I was getting real nerdy and going back and reading some of my old Expanded Universe novels, you know, that don't exist anymore. And, Kylo Ren's lightsaber is faulty and defective. And I was trying to think of anyone else who had something like that. And there is a character who was actually Jason Solo's love interest for a while. And she had a lightsaber like that where she thought she could build it and it was all like crazy like that. And it ended up exploding and taking her arm off. So maybe, that's in Kylo Ren's.
Uh-oh.
Maybe episode 8 we'll see him, his lightsaber explode and lose a hand.
It's all
maybe a little more like Darth Vader.
There you go.
Does it count if you take off your own hand?
Mm. He's just a poser.
Self-mutilation. You did that to yourself. Emo.
Yeah. Like, I won't let you take it from me!
Yeah.
And that yourself!
You have done that?
Liar!
Oh,
you're with him. No.
I do think that their fight wins the award for greatest lightsaber battle.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. I don't know how they can stand the heat, though. I don't know much about lava, but I can imagine that it would be unbearable. Just throwing that out there.
Melt your shoes.
Not to mention the mist that's all flying around everywhere. That gets on you. You're toast.
Yeah. Do you think that we'll ever see a fast-paced lightsaber battle like that? Like a Nicular choreographed style lightsaber fight like we got in the prequels.
I can only hope with Luke and Kylo Ren, but from what I saw from episode 7, I don't think so. I think it's amateur hour.
Yeah, I think they both lack the skills, Luke and Kylo Ren. So unless Luke has been learning a lot from his Jedi holocrons in this time he's been in exile, and if Plagueis teaches, or Snoke teaches fucking...
Good slip there.
If Snoke teaches Kylo Ren... No, he doesn't...
I know that theory's been going around, but he doesn't look anything like a Mun.
He doesn't, but at the same time... In the new expanded universe, he hasn't been. There's no specific race attached to Darth Plagueis. Like the Darth Plagueis novel that came out before the Disney purchase. Yeah.
It's the legendary canon.
So he doesn't have to be a Mun anymore.
That's true, I guess.
That's what everybody's saying online.
Yeah, that's real gray territory because the character has been introduced, but. His race was introduced in a different medium, and it's kind of weird to think that he would not be a Mun, like that he would just be a fucked up looking human,
only or whatever the hell he is. Still an absolute. But remember, the canon does still exist because that business on Caden Nimoidia
doesn't count.
That's going to be edited from the movie.
It could be completely different business that we don't have any knowledge of.
Oh.
Yeah.
Either way, Obi-Wan says it doesn't count, so I guess we're out of luck.
He's referring to the incident where he snuck into Anakin's bed late one night to keep warm.
Ooh, I like where this is going.
He's like, "Ooh, I'm going to treat you like a tauntaun. Yeah. Split you open and get inside."
What do you got, 98.6? I think we can go higher than that.
Let's get you up to fever temperature.
There we go. Anywho, on that note... I think that sums up our year, right? Tauntaun sex. Good stuff. Everyone, thank you for listening to another fantastic episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast, our last of 2015. I cannot wait for 2016. It shall be glorious. And good shit. It'll be the year of the Empire. How about that? Since stupid Rogue One sucks and the Empire kills them.
Except for the one that makes it out with the Death Star plans.
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute, Mikey. If he killed all of his men, how did the map or the story get out?
Yeah. I thought of that, too.
Of course you did, Mikey. What a liar. Anywho, thank you for joining us. Remember to like us on the Facebook, follow us on the Twitter there. Be sure to check out the other podcast on the Geek Glimpse Network. Of course, there is the Comic Corner, hosted by Jeff and Tyler, where they talk about all the great things that are comic books. I think that pretty much does it. And you folks have a lovely year. And we'll talk to you soon.